Balor, go ahead.
Welcome back to the Faceless Men podcast covering HBO's Game of Thrones television series. I'm your host, Michael.
I'm your host, Jesse.
And today, we're covering Season 5, Episode 2, The House of Black and White. This episode dropped a little bit in viewers, 1.2 million down to 6.8 million viewers, which is still pretty good for a premium cable television show. And we begin, there doesn't seem to be a change in the intro credits, though I think they missed an opportunity, because we have a scene in Dorne.
Yeah, they didn't add no new Dorne. Maybe the animators are still working on it.
Well, they've already produced the whole thing. Surely everything's already done that's going to be done for the series.
Who knows?
By this point in time.
I can hope, can't I?
Well, maybe it was just so short that...
Is it too much to...
Maybe it was so short they didn't put it in there. But we begin the episode in Braavos. We see Arya coming in on a ship, right? Between the Titan's legs.
Yep. Speaking of the Titan, they're discussing it.
Yeah, what...
Said it walks out into the sea and destroys ships and the invaders.
Yeah, so there's a legend that the Titan comes out. Much like there's a Greek city, right? That had the Colossus.
Yep. Now, he mentioned that thing
or
walking
Roman
out
city.
And destroying ships. And then she said, well, it's just a statue. He didn't correct her.
You're right.
He didn't agree with her.
Right, but it did. So either there's men in there... Because it did announce, so there was a horn blowing, right, that announced their arrival.
Yeah.
And then after that scene, he's basically in a rowboat, rowing her to the House of Black and White. I don't think we've ever seen many exterior views beyond the intro credits animation.
Of Braavos?
Of Braavos, yeah. I don't think we've seen...
They had a little bit when Stannis and Davos...
For the Iron Bank, yeah. Right, but... But I didn't get the Venetian feel.
No.
This had a very Venetian feel with the canals.
Yep.
Which was interesting. So, you know, you had some Greco-Roman stuff going on here with Braavos, with the Colossus.
She seemed to be soaking it in, Arya.
Yeah. I couldn't tell what she was feeling. Her face was kind of...
It looked to me a little bit like, you know, just taking in the sounds of the market, because... I guarantee Winterfell had an okay market, or at least a decently sized market.
Winterfell was a backwater, dude.
Yeah, but for a backwater, it still had a market.
I don't think Winterfell...
It's probably one of the...
Winterfell doesn't have anything on Braavos.
But still.
Right.
Yeah, it's probably decently sized. It's probably at least one of the trading points in the north. Probably the only...
Well, yeah, but it's like... I don't know. It's like comparing some fort in the West, Frontier West, as, hey, that's the major trading hub to New York City during the same time frame.
That's true.
So, and once again, she thanks him for bringing her there, and he said any man of Braavos would. I find that hard to believe that every citizen of Braavos would... take someone to the House of Black and White with that just because they have that coin.
Kind of drop everything they're doing
right.
And go for it.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe the Faceless Men just have that much influence.
That's called fear.
Yeah, fear. Which we learn about later. We learn more about fear later.
Yeah.
So she goes to the House of Black and White, and there's an entrance. One side is black, the other side is white. And a doorman answers, he doesn't really give Arya the time of day, though.
No, he just kind of stands and stares at her.
Right, he doesn't do anything until she asks for Jaqen H'ghar, and then really doesn't do anything until she shows the coin, saying, you know, Jaqen H'ghar gave me this coin. And then the doorman's like, there's no one here by that name. And then, I don't know, I guess she spent the night there?
It looked like several days.
Several days? Yeah.
I got the feeling that that's what they were going for.
Right. And the whole time she recited her prayer, which has dwindled. The Hound is no longer on it.
Nope.
Since he's dead.
So is it four? It sounded like 4 days.
There's four. So Cersei, the Mountain, the Captain of the...
Meryn Trent.
Yeah, Meryn Trent. He's a Kingsguard. And who was the other person? Oh, Walder Frey. The guy who betrayed her brother and mother.
Yep.
And then, finally, she gives up and chucks the coin into the canal, or whatever it is. And that was a kind of a weird shot, right? Did you notice that?
Yeah, bouncing camera.
Yeah, the camera's like floating on a wave or something. It was strange cinematography. So from there we go, we're on the road with Brian and Pod. And they're at a tavern. Pod catches the eye of a tavern wench, and then of course he keeps following the tavern wench around the inn, and finally sees Peter Baelish and who?
Sansa. He just kind of catches Sansa's face as she leans out talking to the tavern wench.
She's dyed her hair, but he still recognizes her. And then he informs Brienne, and Brienne is like, "What? Are you sure?" And he's like, "Yeah, you know, she dyed her hair." But they're surrounded by guards, and she's like, "Well, how many? A lot. Dude. Well, you know, what's a lot? 10? You know, too many." And Brienne's like, "No, that's not too many.
go get a horse.
Yeah, go get more horses, right?"
Yeah. I thought that was a funny, an interesting conversation when Sansa was asking Baelish about, straight out, just about the dope, what was on it. And he actually told her. Well, he might have told her.
Oh, what was on the note?
It was his new wedding plans.
Oh, that's right. What is his new wedding plans?
Oh, I can't remember exactly who he's getting married to. He's getting married again.
Oh, joy.
Yeah.
Someone else to kill.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's exactly what I'm thinking. When they have that nice pointed conversation about ale.
But then,
what do you think it does for people?
Yeah. It makes some men feel stronger, for sure. But Brienne interrupts their conversation and proceeds to pledge herself to Sansa Stark, but that doesn't work out too well for her, does it?
Nope, she gets rejected by another Stark.
And Baelish, so...
And you know, because it seemed really important to Baelish that Sansa reject her, rather than like him having his guards just haul her off.
Yeah, well, Baelish really... drug her through the dirt, right? Her reputation.
Yep.
When she says the Stannis shadow baby killed Renly, do you think Baelish believed her?
No. Nope.
You don't think he believed her?
Nope.
I think maybe he believed her, but it didn't matter. Because he doesn't... Brienne is not the type of person that he wants around, because Brienne is pretty, you know, she's pretty straight.
Might object to some of his plans.
Right, she would be a constant thorn in his side. So I think maybe, because Baelish has enough information that he knows how things operate, and surely he's received some kind of information concerning the cult of the Fire Lord or whatever, the Lord of Light, whatever they call him.
Yeah.
So maybe he's heard of this before. I think that he actually believed their story, but blew it off.
I don't think he did. I don't think he would have brought it up if he truly believed it.
Oh, I think that he just wanted her to say it because it would discredit her.
It did that, for sure.
Right. Because it is hard to believe. But then he what does he do? He says that she shouldn't be alone on the road. It's a dangerous place, right?
Yeah, and this is right before Sansa tells her firmly no.
Right.
There was very definitely a look that was past, like basically, I think Brienne knew that was coming.
Right.
And so that was kind of a pleading look of, hey, this is a life or death situation rather than just a, I'm going to be your bodyguard or not.
Right.
I definitely don't think Sansa got that at all.
So.
Because it's not like Baelish wants anybody to know.
Well, do you think...
who Sansa is.
Do you think Baelish was going to have her killed?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought maybe he was going to hold her prisoner and then ransom her off. Because surely she has a price on her head, right? Brienne?
She might. If that's the case, he'd probably do that. But I think the information of where Sansa's at and who she's with would definitely have gotten her killed.
Okay. You do have a point there.
Because I don't think Cersei or whoever would have been paying for Brienne would have taken that lying down.
You're right. So Sansa Stark definitely has a price on her head.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want that getting out. So yeah, maybe he was just going to offer. Well, that seems pretty... I don't know. That would seem pretty bold for him to do that in front of Sansa Stark. Do you think he was confident enough that he could argue away the reasons?
Well, I mean, they would have probably kept her there until they left, and then
okay,
whatever happened behind him, right?
Right. So, but Brienne charges out of there, gets past all the guards. They give chase. Brienne, you know, tries to cause confusion by loosing the horses. But the men don't fare too well against her.
No.
No.
I don't think their horse trick worked very well, though.
Well, it didn't work as well as she hoped, I don't think. But they... So there's a horse chase. Pod gets dismounted. Brienne kills a couple of guards. But before that, she sees where they're going. Sansa and Baelish. And what do they decide to do?
Follow them.
Follow them. That is not going to turn out well for someone.
And Pod even mentioned that, you know, that's the second Stark family member you've been turned down by.
Right. So
it's kind of a sore point at this
point.
But
she brings up a good point. She's like, what do you think? She's safe with Baelish? No.
No.
So we return to King's Landing.
Until she's outlived her usefulness, sure.
Right. So we return to King's Landing, and we see Queen Mother Cersei sitting at a table with some kind of odd package between her and Jaime. What's in the package?
Some kind of snake with Marcella's amulet on it.
Yeah, it's a viper with Marcella's necklace. So there's only two like it, right? The one that Cersei wears and the one that Marcella wears.
And they took it as a threat, which it... Yeah.
It's definitely a threat. Which we, you know, we will go to Dorne next after King's Landing, but we... I think that viper is from the Sand Snakes, right?
Yep.
So.
That's the first time I think we've heard of them.
Well, so what was the conversation between Cersei and Jaime really about?
She kind of was basically saying, you've never been a father to these kids. And he's like, yeah, because if I was.
Right.
It'd kind of be shunned, and you probably wouldn't be in the position you are now. And she's like, well, so what?
Yeah.
That's kind of the feeling I got.
So, Jaime decides that he's going to go to Dorne and bring back Marcella.
And she throws out all the options of...
Right, so he can't take an army, because it'll start a war. But he's not going to take an army.
He can't just go ask for her back.
Right, can't ask. So... Diplomacy and force of, you know, show of force are not an answer, so I guess it's stealth.
Yep.
So, to aid him in his adventure, who does he seek out?
He goes and hunts up Bronn.
Yeah, Bronn, Ser Bronn, now, of the Blackwater.
Who's never really had any allegiance to him, has he? He doesn't really...
No, his allegiance had always been to gold.
Yeah.
And Tyrion had been providing the gold, and then someone gave him his betrothed. And then someone took away his betrothed, right?
Now, this is the question, because I don't know that Cersei's the one who took away the betrothed. He says,
Oh, yeah, so it's part of Jaime's plan, right?
Yeah, yes. He didn't mention any of this. I mean, at least he didn't bring it up to show that he mentioned anything to Cersei, but...
Well, he did say... I would have advised against making a deal with Cersei, which is true. But he does promise him something, a better girl and a better castle.
Yeah, and he doesn't... That's the question, though. He doesn't have the pull anymore to do that. So what's he got
Jaime?
To offer? Yeah.
He's favors.
He's a Kingsguard.
Yeah, but he's got favors to pull.
Yeah, but a favor is not going to get you a castle.
Okay, well, maybe you discussed it with Cersei, and Cersei's the one who did it.
That may be how he had the paper in the first place, that traded off Bronn's betrothed.
Yeah.
Who, yeah,
no more castle for you,
yeah.
Sir Blackwater. So after here, we go to Dorne, and we see Marcella talking, I guess, with the Prince of the Prince? Son of the Prince? What do you call that?
Maybe that's her betrothed.
It is. I think she's promised to him.
Still, I don't know. I don't know what she called.
What's a prince of a prince? So you have a crown prince, and then you have uncrowned princes, I guess.
Meh.
I don't know. Whatever.
Just young Lord.
So there's a... Yeah. So you have the prince's son, the Prince of Dorne. And then it looks like...
Was that the lady who was supposed to have been... Who was with the Viper when he... Or Oberon when he was in the capital?
I had that
cast.
I don't know. She did not look like the same person.
Also, I'm wondering if she wasn't recast.
We can. But obviously, she had a relationship with Oberyn.
Yeah.
Because the prince says, "Look, you know, you always made Oberyn happy, so and for that, you always have a place in my heart." But you know, here in Dorne, we don't mutilate little girls for vengeance.
Yeah.
And then she's like, "Well, the Sand Snakes are with me."
That's very close to what Oberyn told him.
That is exactly what, you know, we don't do that kind of stuff in Dorne. And so, obviously, her vengeance is a little bit misguided because that's not something Oberyn would want her to do. First of all, Oberyn got into a trial by combat by his choice.
Yeah.
So, technically, it's not murder.
Yep.
And the prince reminds her of that. But I guess, from what she says, the whole nation of Dorne is up in arms about Oberyn's death.
Yeah, I wonder if that's how overstated that actually is.
Well, she has some secret society or something with her. The Sand Snakes, who I assume are the ones who sent the little gift with the necklace on it.
Yeah. Because that definitely didn't come from ruler there. Oberyn's brother.
Right. So the prince, he's the one that makes the decisions. But she reminds him that he may not always be in power. I think it's been mentioned before in previous episodes that he was sickly, right?
Yeah. And it looked like he was in... That chair was wheeled he was in.
Right. So. From Dorne, we travel to Meereen, and we see they're tracking down the Sons of the Harpy, or a Son of the Harpy, who are free-born men who serve the former slave masters now?
I guess.
I'm
not
too familiar with who they are. But Dario is giving Grey Worm the rundown of how they, you know, basically... We come around here, we break a few fingers, you know.
Is it under the Second Son's secret police, the SS?
They're the SS.
Second Son's SS. Yeah.
Ah! That is awful. So, but they go into this room and it's empty, right? And Grey Worm's like, there's no one here. Let's go. And he's like, so soon? He's like, are you afraid? He's like, Unsullied are afraid of nothing. He's like, well, that's your problem. He's like, someone who has forgotten fear has forgotten how to hide. And then he proceeds to stab through a wall. And there's a moan on the other side.
That keeps coming, that came up a lot in this episode. The themes of fear and courage.
Yes, it is. I think...
And they started that when Arya, in the boat, said, I'm not afraid.
Right.
Talking of the Titan.
So we have our episode theme, fear and courage.
I think the only time they mentioned courage was AO gives courage. A discussion between Sansa.
Oh, Sansa, you're right. Yeah. So, but yeah, I like how they have the interlocking thread throughout the episode. That's a pretty good point. So they bring the guy back to Dany, and they're all discussing what should happen to this guy. So the former slave wants to kill him. What does the former master want? Or the representative of masters? I don't think they know. Like, he's just kind of along for the ride.
Yeah, he just says it's not a good idea. Doesn't really give a what they should do. But Barristan brings up a trial.
Right. And so they're arguing, should there be a trial or should they just kill a guy? But I think Barristan wins out. Well, how does he convince Dany?
After Dany dismisses everyone, he kind of hangs back and mentions the Mad King.
That's right. It's kind of like, don't become your father.
Yeah. Look at him. The harder he grasped and the harder he put down the rebellion by burning people, the more things got out of control.
Right. So when you just basically murder people... Without rhyme or reason, you know, or when you're just a tyrant and kill people, then you turn the people against you, right? So she decides on a trial. And then we see people on the road to Meereen, and this probably had some of the... I wouldn't say this has the best dialogue, but it had the second best dialogue of this episode. It's still pretty sharp.
It's There's between a lot of good dialogue in this episode.
It's between Varys and Tyrion. They're in a big box on the way to some town, which is on the way to Meereen. And Varys makes a comment about, hey, maybe you'll actually get some solid food in you. And Tyrion...
There's a bug in his... A bug in his wine.
Oh, yeah, there's a bug in his wine. So, yeah. And Tyrion makes a statement, oh, when I agreed to come with you, did I misrepresent my intent? You know.
Drinking myself to death.
Yeah, he planned on drinking the whole way. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what he said. And then he finds out that, you know, because he offers to take a walk or something like that. He finds out that there's a big price on his head. And Tyrion makes another pretty sharp retort saying that maybe Cersei should have offered her cunt the best part of her for the best part of him.
I really enjoyed that comment.
Yeah, that was pretty good. So we return to King's Landing.
Well, not before...
Yeah.
How many dwarves are there in the world? Is she gonna kill every dwarf?
Right. So this is more that theme that you talked about. This is more that theme you talked about, fear, right? So he wants to. He's like, well, let's just, you know, let me out. And Varys is like, no. It's like, we need to stay in here, hide away, you know, to hide, make sure we're hiding. And then he makes that quip. Well, what's she going to do? Kill every dwarf? You know, how many dwarves are in Westeros? Well, there's one less dwarf, because when we go to King's Landing, we see what?
A dwarf's head being offered to Cersei.
Yes, a dwarf's head. But it's the wrong dwarf. But it's not in vain. Doc Frankenstein, Qyburn, he says it would be good for his research.
I don't know. I really do not know what research he's doing, but man.
Do you think maybe the mountain's going to have a dwarf head attached to him?
No. I think that dude is just creepy as fuck, though.
Yeah, he's pretty creepy. I'm still waiting to see the mountain. I imagine they won't reveal him until, like, episode 8.
Yeah. There's something in that last scene I wanted to talk about.
Oh, okay.
So they were talking about being rulers, and he mentions... Tyrion mentions that... the Shae... they mentioned to him several times to leave. And, if, you know, things might have turned out differently if he had actually gone with her. But
right.
He stayed for one specific reason. Do you remember what that was?
He liked it.
Yeah, he enjoyed ruling.
Right.
And then Varys said something about, mentions that, you know, we always love it, right? Until the point we
right.
hate everyone.
Right. Until everyone's been arrayed against you.
Yeah. And then he mentions, you know, and then we build ourselves these boxes, but they always end up being too small.
Right. You build the box to stay safe, but then you can't stand inside the box anymore.
Yep. So. Makes you wonder if that isn't some foreshadowing that he's not going to stand safe.
There's something about Varys and boxes.
People getting put in boxes. People coming out of boxes. Dicromancy.
So we go back to King's Landing, and after the head of the wrong dwarf is brought to Cersei, Cersei travels to the council chambers, right? Or the small council, along with Qyburn, where she plays most of the people like a violin. So...
starts handing out titles.
Yeah, well, she hands...
or positions,
Tyrell, Mace Tyrell says, I will gladly... step in to be the hand of the king until the king appoints a new person. And then she's like, no. The king wants you to be not only master of ships, but master of coin as well. And he's all like, whoa, that's awesome.
I feel that's a scapegoat. Because you know that the Lannisters are broke. They've been bankrolling.
Oh, yeah, so they can blame it on him?
Yeah.
Well, he also has all the Tyrells have all the money now.
Well... you also remember what Baelish was doing when he was Master of Coin, right? Using his own money so that the country owed him money.
Oh, that's true, yeah. he's making a profit for himself.
So that makes you wonder if Lord Trell doesn't seem to be...
Mace Tyrell is too incompetent to do anything.
That's kind of what I was thinking. So if things start going bad, is he going to start bankrolling the country with his money? Eh.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to play out.
See, if his incompetence runs that far, and bankrupt the Tyrells as well.
I don't know. Unknown. But it's sure... what she's trying to do here is hold on to the office of the Hand of the King for herself, right?
Yeah, because if there's no hand, she gets to still be the Queen Mother.
Right. But a female has never held the position. So she's all like playing it off like, well, I'm just holding it temporarily until the King decides. She does try to hand out the Master of War, right, to someone? Her Uncle Kevin. But he doesn't have anything to do with that.
Nope.
What does he do?
Says, you don't have the authority to do that. And if the King says it, then let him say it.
Right, let him come here and do his... You know, he should be here being king, learning how to be king.
And she handed all of those positions out in the name of the King.
Right.
So.
But the King's not doing shit.
Nope.
He's probably off playing with Marge in some room in the castle somewhere. So Kevin defies Cersei, shuts her down pretty hard, and says, you know what, when the King calls, I'll be at Casterly Rock. So he's in charge of the Lannisters at this point. So at this point, King's Landing doesn't even have the Lannisters on their side anymore.
Nope. The Lannisters, Cersei is pretty much on her own now.
Yep. So all of Tywin's kids are kind of orphaned from the House Lannister now. So we travel to the Wall, and we see Gilly is learning to read from Shireen. What letter? Do you know what letter?
I don't know. Snakes?
S. Oh, it was just the letter S.
Yeah, oh, S.
Snakes. There's a snake theme to this as well.
Fear and snake, those things go hand in hand.
It does. But we learn here something about the condition that Shireen has. What's it called?
Called it grayscale.
Right. So it sounds like, what it sounds like, because Gilly asked her, you know, what do they call that in the South? And she's like, grayscale. Like, what do they call it in the, you know, beyond the Wall? She's like, I don't know what they call it, but my sister's had it. And it sounds like Shireen lucked out, right?
Yeah, and it makes you wonder what happened that she got so lucky.
Right. Exactly. So she does say that many people came and tried to cure her when she was young, but she doesn't remember because she was a baby. But what happens to most people with gray scale, I guess, is that it ends up covering their whole body and they basically revert into some kind of animalistic creature. Because Gilly basically said how they've been let off, you know, taken outside the keep.
She never said what happened, but, you know... Yeah, they're dead.
Yeah, so...
He very much killed
So them. Remember that dick that was in charge of the keep, right?
Yeah.
So he put them outside the keep, and they eventually had to tie ropes to them and lead them off in the woods. And Shireen was like, well, what happened in the woods?
I think we all know what happened there.
Well, either he killed them or he fed them to somebody.
Yeah, that's true.
Or maybe they used them. Maybe grayscale has a larger part to play. Maybe something when you're infected with grayscale that, you know, you're like, become some monster that is part of some kind of other ecosystem. You know what I mean? So I don't know. But then her mom, Shireen's mom, comes in and interrupts them and says, you know, because Sam was in there too. Sam was in there. And she basically runs them off so she can talk to Shireen and be like, you need to quit hanging out with Gilly. She's a wildling. You remember what Shireen's response was?
Yeah, she didn't care.
Well, she said Gilly would never do that, you know, because basically her mom was like, hey, your dad killed the leader, you know, tried to burn the leader of the wildlings at the stake. The wildlings could try to get back at him by attacking you. And Gilly could do it, because she's close to you. And she's like,
yeah,
Shireen's
she's
like,
a wildling.
Gilly wouldn't do that. And her mom says something important here, that she has no idea what people will do. And I'm thinking she's right.
Yeah,
Shireen doesn't know what people will do. People like her mom and dad.
Yeah.
Crazy bitch.
That lady's crazy.
And then we see John is talking with Ser Davos and Stannis.
Getting his comeuppance for having shot.
Right, so he's getting grilled for that. And basically he's saying, you know, you should ask Davos what happens to people who defy...
This Davos is usually pretty quick to whip out the fingers and show,
right,
you know, what kind of man Stannis is. Not this time.
No.
I was totally expecting it.
Yeah, I think Davos is... I think Davos secretly thinks that... he won't say it in front of Stannis, but... that John did the right thing.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. We're pretty sure that Davos doesn't like the idea of people being burned at the stake.
I think he's kind of becoming disenchanted with Stannis, too.
But, he, you know, in for a penny, in for a pound. So yeah, he's kind of in there now. But they're talking about, Jon tells him that the free folk will never follow him.
Yeah, because they burned his leader.
Well, they'll never follow him because they only follow one of their own.
Yep.
So they're never going to follow him. So I don't know what, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know what you're going to do. And then he mentions the...
House Mormont.
Bear Island, right? Is that what it's called?
Yep.
I guess Stannis has been going around the north trying to get people, you know, basically former Stark bannermen to pledge to him instead. And he's like, here, read this. This is from the lady, I guess she was only 10, right? Is that what he said? She's only 10, lady, you know, Lady Mormont of Bear Island sent him this. And it said... basically said that
we'll only
Bear him. Island knows only knows no king but the king of the north whose name is Stark. So at this point, what does Stannis offer Jon?
He offers him the north. He offers him to become Jon Stark.
That's right. So he said, basically, Ser Davos sets it up and says, look, hey, Alistair's probably going to win. Alistair Thorne's going to win this vote for Lord Commander. And then Stannis is like, and he's going to punish you for your bravery. But I don't punish people for the bravery. I reward them.
Yep.
And so if you basically give me your allegiance, I will legitimize you. You will not be a Snow. You'll be a Stark.
And that's in Stannis' best interest, too. Because a lot of those bannermen from the north will not follow...
Right, so if he gets Jon, legitimizes him as a Stark.
A banner for the North to rally around.
Yeah. He's hoping that all the remnants of, you know, well, I mean, because a lot of the the whole North suffered grave defeat at Walder Frey's hands when he betrayed them.
Yep.
And so, but the remnants still, there's a lot of people in the North.
It's really hard to wipe out that large of an army. Just
It is true, that's true. So the remnants would
even if the
flock to Stark.
Yeah, because
and if Stark is serving Stannis,
put the head back on that wolf.
Right. So basically, I think he's thinking, you know, the Baratheon Stark 1-2 punch that took out the Mad King, right? Because I mean, that's what happened before.
Yep.
Stark pledged his people to Robert's Crusade.
So that kind of kills the whole thing I was thinking about, that Stark would be in charge of the wildling.
Well, I don't think
it's completely ruled out at this point, but especially
I don't think it's completely ruled
what
out.
Happens later.
We still have time, because we haven't even seen what's happening with Free Folk right now.
Yeah. Nope, we don't know what their fate is.
Right. So we leave Stannis, though, and we go to the 998th election of the Night's Watch, or, you know, the election of the 998th Lord Commander of the Night's Watch.
That's a hell of a lot of Night's Watch Lord Commanders.
Yeah, I don't know how long the average lifespan is, but that's thousands of years.
Yeah.
So, everybody gets a vote, but first, before they vote, people are nominated. And so we got Alistair Thorne that's nominated, then we have the oldest ranger that's there, he's nominated. And then Maester Aemon starts into the, hey, this is the voting process, but Samwell interrupts him. He's like, look. And he totally talks up Jon Snow. He's
and then like, when, what's that dude's name?
Oh!
Steps up to to Janice. Try and make him sit back down, and Sam will just let him.
Yes,
have.
Janice Fine. gives him a hard, you know. Oh, it's the. Janice is like, oh, it's the wildling lover, or Samwell the Slayer, right? The wildling lover. How's your girlfriend doing, the wildling? And he totally fucking slams Janice, and it's awesome. Well, you're doing pretty well, about as well as you were when you're cowering with her and a child during the battle
in your own puddle.
And he's like, I discovered them. I discovered him along with Gilly and a child, and in a puddle of his own making. Man, this is that fear and courage. So at this point, I think Samwell is able to conquer many of his fears. Before, he would have never think. He would have never thought about
much
speaking
too timid,
up. Yeah. But then he nominates John, and he does a good job of saying, hey, you know, you're right. Alistair, he's brave. But after he was mortally wounded, it was John who stepped up. Man, you know,
saved us,
manned the defenses, went out there and avenged Lord Mormont's death, and was going out there to deal with Mance himself. No one else did that. That was all John. So, and it comes down to a vote, and there's a tie between Alistair Thorne and Jon Snow.
Tie right up until Maester Aemon casts his
vote. That's right.
That was a nice
Maester Aemon is nice a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool because he reaches up there and he's like feeling, right? He's feeling the shapes. And then he places his vote. And it looks like Jon Snow is the Lord Commander of the Night's Watch. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how Stannis reacts to this.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious. That's why I think if the wildlings cannot be brought with Stannis' army, maybe they will be given to defense of the wall.
Or maybe Jon Snow will make them an offer. Be like, look. Because technically the Night's Watch is beyond the purview of any king, right?
Yep.
So, and he's the Lord.
Can pardon anyone. As long as they come and join the Night's Watch, right?
That's right.
Eh.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's still some stuff to work with here, right?
Still, yeah. So he can still end up leading the free folk. It's just a question of whether they would actually accept that and follow him.
Well, I think that he definitely gained some points when he put their leader out of his misery when he was being burned. So, yeah, that was a really cool scene. I think that was my favorite scene there when Samwell when Samwell steps up and. Oh, excuse me.
Puts Janice in his place?
Yeah, when Samwell steps up and puts Janice in his place.
Because that kind of looks bad on on Thorne, too.
Of course, yeah, it's his right-hand man. He's a big fucking
right-hand
coward.
Man's a fucking coward, yeah.
So from the wall, we go back to Braavos. And we see Needle earns Arya a pigeon for lunch or breakfast or dinner, whatever the hell she's eating.
Whatever she's eating.
But before she can leave the alley with her prize, three thieves walk up, right?
Yep.
And they're like, what's in the bag?
I wanted Needle.
Well, yeah, well, after she brought Needle out, right?
Yeah.
And that's worth 1,000 gold pieces or something like that, didn't they?
Yeah, something.
Something. It was worth something, and then she's like, well, it's not worth anything to dead men.
Yeah, it gives them a little threat there.
So they're getting ready to face off, but then the doorman from the House of Black and White shows up, and they all scatter.
Yeah, because she'd been followed. Now, the question is this. Do you think she could have taken all three of them?
I think she would have killed all three of them.
Me
no
too.
Problem.
I had that impression, too.
But it raises another question. So, I guess everybody knows what the guy from the House of Black and White looks like?
Or maybe it's the robes.
Is it the robes?
That's my guess.
Okay.
I don't know for sure, but
it just looked modeled to me. I don't
know. Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess it could be the robes. So, she's obviously being watched. And she follows the guy back to the House of Black and White, where he then, because, you know, she demands, you know, who are you? And then he throws the coin back to her that she chucked into the canal. You know, you lost this.
And it changes his face.
Yeah, and then she's like, I thought you said there's no jock in here. And he's like, well,
this man does not go by the name. Or something.
Jockin is not the name of this man. Or something like that.
And I feel like this man is how he refers to himself. That's his...
Well, yeah. Have you... You not yeah. remember the early seasons?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, he does do kind of speak in the third person, this man stuff. But he tells her something before he lets her in the House of Black and White. Basically, you know, this man is no one, and you have to become no one. You have to be no one before you enter. And then...
Or that's what you're going to learn here.
And then she goes inside. So it'll be interesting to see what all she learns there and what kind of new tortures she...
Or is that the last that we've seen of her for a while?
If that's the last we see of her for a while, I'm going to be pissed off.
We haven't seen Bran in a while.
We have not seen Bran in a while, but I bet we see him next episode.
I'm going to skip over a lot of training and stuff like that.
I mean, what's the name of the next episode? We can get into that later. But. After this next scene. So, after Arya goes in the House of Black and White, we go back to Meereen for the final episode, and most of the budget for the episode. And we see here that some former slaves are taking the law into their own hands, huh?
Yep. Getting a hold of that son of the harpy.
And they...
Crucify him, or...?
Well, they nail him to a piece of wood, that's for sure. Along with a warning.
Along with their favorite saying, kill the masters, written on the wall in blood.
But Danny doesn't like that, does he?
Nope.
And they have a big, long conversation. Is Danny the law?
See, that's the fun part, because if that was a trial, that's not much of a trial.
Well, he admitted to what he was doing. What's there to try?
Yeah. Yeah, but at that point, the question is, was he right or not?
Well, no, she said that. The law is the law. You broke the law without, you know, she came here and gave them freedom and justice, but you can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you want from the trial that makes you think it wasn't a trial?
It seems more impromptu, less formal.
They were in her chambers, and they're in front of him, and he was in front of her giving his case.
That's true, but that other guy could have... Wasn't...
What other guy? The dead guy?
Yeah, he never... If it was that quick, you know...
Well, maybe they were going to do it public, but they didn't do this public.
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
So... Yeah. But regardless, so he was on trial, and he...
Still in, not equal.
The punishment for what he did is death, and Dario has the pleasure of chopping his head off.
And he seemed to just kind of sigh. She just kind of looks at him, and he's like, oh well.
So the killing of the slave, former slave, does what? It sparks what?
One hell of a hissing match.
It looks like a riot. So it was former slaves versus former masters. And it was kind of neat because I guess they still live... They're all segregated, I guess, because you have the former masters on the left and former slaves on the right, and you have the unsullied in between them all.
They made that comment earlier, you know.
They still live in the...
Who lives in the pyramids?
Right.
So, and the answer is not the slaves.
Right.
So, no equality yet.
Well, I mean, freedom, I guess, doesn't necessarily mean equality. And equality doesn't mean justice.
Nope.
So, a big riot starts, and then everybody's trying to console Dany, I guess, saying, hey, it's been a long day. She makes everybody go away, but then who comes?
Drogon.
Drogon returns.
The one dragon that got away.
Yeah. He still got away, though.
I totally thought... Just walking through there, I thought she was going to die. I thought she was...
I know! You kept saying she's going to die. I'm like, she's not going to die.
Well, you know... It wouldn't surprise me. And then you have Drogon there, and...
Well, so
the
this
other
is...
two have gone completely feral, being caged up.
It's more out of, I guess, meta-knowledge. I know that she's still not dead. So she's not going to be dying in this television series yet.
Yet.
So where they are in the books, she's still alive, I'm pretty sure.
And are we caught up to the books with this show?
Yeah. No, I know they have... Chapters from the latest book, Dance of Dragons, I believe is the latest book. So this had John 1, according to the Wikipedia entry, I saw that this has part of his story and another chapter there from.
That's something I wanted to ask about. Do you think the show is going to catch?
Well, hold on before we get into that.
Oh, let's finish.
Yeah, what happens?
She reaches out to go and touch him, and Drogon flies off.
Yeah. He didn't snap at her, though.
I thought he was totally going to at least take off her hand or kill her.
She's not going to die yet.
I'm just saying.
She's not dying this season, Jesse.
Hey, they've brought out another surprise.
I think people who are... Okay, so that being the end of the episode, let's talk... Before we talk about the books, let's talk about who we think is up for grabs for dying this season.
I'm going to say Cersei.
I would put Cersei on the table, too, for dying. I think Cersei is a strong contender for being on the death roster. Who else? Jon Snow is not. Dany is not.
I don't think Tyrion or Varys are.
Or what about Bronn?
If one, not the other.
What about Baelish? I think Baelish is on the chopping block. I think Baelish could be on the chopping block.
Especially with Brienne around.
I don't think Sansa is, though.
I don't think Brienne or Baelish are going to survive the season. One of those two. Okay. From what I've seen.
It's either going to be early, Brienne or Baelish.
Pretty early, but I'm making that call, yeah. There's not a lot of evidence to support that. I'm just going to make that call.
Arya isn't. I don't think Bran is. Bran's traveling companions could all be on the chopping block. What's left of them, anyways.
Yeah. Except Hodor.
What do you think about Jaime? No, I think Hodor could possibly die.
I don't think Jaime is.
I don't think Jaime is yet either.
He hasn't. What about Bronn? I don't feel like he's at the top of his arc to be brought low yet.
What about Bronn? I think we still have a lot to see from him, but I think he could definitely die.
Yeah, I don't think he's safe.
He's not safe.
That lady who was all kinds of pissed about Marcel. Whoever she was, whether she was the...
Oh, right. Oberyn's lover or wife or girlfriend or whatever.
So that's what, I wonder if she was the same, like...
So what about the Prince of Dorne? Think he could die?
Yeah. I think that's likely.
What about Melisandre and Stannis? I think Stannis could definitely die.
I agree.
Yeah. I don't think Davos will.
No.
Not yet.
Nope. I'd like to see.
What about Alistair Thorne?
Hell yes.
I think he's definitely... Yeah, I don't think we've seen the last of him and his cronies.
I wonder how well he's going to take that defeat.
Yeah, I don't know. So
I can see Jon being noble enough to be like, hey, you want to be my second in command kind of thing.
Right. Well,
you're still a great guy, you know. Well, not great guy. You're a great command. Great leader.
He's a great warrior.
Yeah, and that would reconcile the two halves of the, you know, Castle Black.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how all that all plays out. So you're wanting to talk about the television series versus the books.
Yes. And I really think at this point the show is going to catch the books.
So you think by the end of the season it's going to cover everything in all the books?
No. Not. I think there are certain people's story arcs that will be covered to the end of the like that, but I don't think everything will be caught up in the books. But I think within the next season or two.
So you think in the next, not this season particularly, but in the next season or two, that we'll see new content that has not been published yet?
Yep. And we've already seen like...
We've already got some things that have never been, things that have not been revealed in the books yet. One example of that is the...
White Walker baby.
Yeah, White Walker baby. So you think we're going to see a lot more of that next year?
I think we'll see some of that. Like, we may get some more of that later this season, and then we'll definitely get new stuff next.
When do you think the next book will be out?
I don't know. Is there already...
If a new book comes out this year...
I haven't been following his book writing closely, but I know that when I last looked, he was not... I didn't see any release date for the next book, so... But it's been a little bit...
I would almost say that a book... I can't say.
I think a book...
Because I don't know anything about... Yeah, you're right. I don't keep up with George R. R. Martin. I don't follow him on anything. Last time mostly because I try to not be spoiled for this podcast.
Because Googling him is a bad idea.
So I had so much blinders on. Like, I didn't even know, for instance, that those four episodes had been, you know, the first four episodes
had been
leaked. Because I have such blinders on that I don't go anywhere near that on the internet. I don't follow anybody.
I
follow the actors.
That's the problem with doing research on some of these, like, because if I want some of the lore.
Yeah. So I follow some of the actors on Twitter, but that's about the end of it.
Yeah.
And I
have been spoiled a little bit. You kind of can guess some of this because of the casting, the way they some of the casting.
Right.
So you knew this least season, at least, that we'd see a lot more Dorne.
But I think casted some of that still that allows us to maintain our Unsullied thing. As well, if we're just looking at stuff that only pertains to the like casting and stuff like that, we can make or you know like the leaked. Or the names of the episodes for the season. I think we can look at that.
Yeah, because I think they list that right now.
Yeah, oh yeah. They have all the names of the episodes out there. Because they released those things on screeners, which of course is how the first four episodes got leaked, is that they give these DVDs out to people for pre-screening.
Yeah.
And that's how that works.
And someone who received those DVDs decided to put them up online for everybody after making sure that the watermark of himself or herself was basically covered.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, that's why some people say that there's a little
blur.
Yeah, because they removed the watermark. Because normally those things have watermarks, and depending on the company, they usually do different things. Like sometimes the watermark will bounce around the screen,
mm-hmm.
depending on the company or whatever. So you can't that way you can't blur out. You know, specific.
You'd have to go frame by frame, which would suck ass.
Yeah. Basically put a lot more work and effort into it.
If they're smart, they'd all hide that stuff digitally.
Well, even then, some of them do it so that each person that they send it to, the thing bounces to it and positions on the screen. That way they can, even if you were to blur it out.
Oh, yeah. You'd know, yeah. At this frame, it's in this XY position, and that if that's it, then it's you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds very curious how they actually got leaked and some people are talking about.
Well, I'm sure they know who did it. And they won't be receiving any more screeners. So, I would say that, though, if I was George R. R. Martin with this television thing going on, that I imagine he's probably, even though you don't see a published date, I bet that another book is due really soon.
Yeah.
But I don't care if the television series becomes the first place the content is shown or not. In fact, I would prefer that.
Yeah, we've already talked about our feelings of the books.
Yeah.
We
both tried to read the books and we couldn't really get into them.
They're both kinda, being fantasy readers, yeah. And I know a lot of people that still love the books more than the show.
Well, I mean, everybody has their flavor, particular flavor. It's a good television series. It's probably an excellent book series if that's your cup of tea. Jesse puts a thumbs down. So anyways, this has been the Faceless Men Podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/facelessmencast. Find us on Twitter at facelessmencast. You can reach us on Gmail, facelessmencast@gmail.com. And you can find us on Google+, just plus facelessmencast. So that's it for the Faceless Men Podcast for Season 5, Episode 2. I'm your host, Michael.
And I'm your host, Jesse. Follow.